Hey, welcome again to another episode of Dangerous But Good. Craig Wilkinson, and just great to be with you again. We're going to discuss today, if you're going to give your best, you need to be your best. If you're going to be your most dangerous, in other words, the most powerful force for good, you need to be the best possible version of yourself. And that applies physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every different way. And I'm going to hone in today on emotionally. The journey from baby to adulthood, from child to adulthood, is a perilous one. And very few people, in fact, I would go as far as saying not a single person arrives at adulthood completely whole emotionally. When I say completely whole, I mean without any insecurities, with a deep sense of self and who I am and confidence and belief in my identity and what I have to offer the world, without any triggers, without any sensitivities, without any bad habits. Life is tough. Our upbringing is tough. Our journey into adulthood as a man and as a woman is fraught with challenges. There are four really key questions that every human being needs answered. One is the question of identity. Who am I? Who am I really? The other one is a question of belonging. What is my tribe? Where do I belong? What is my place underneath the sun? The third question is one of competence. Do I actually have what it takes to be everything the world needs me to be? These are very burning questions on the heart of every human being. And the other one is validity. Does my life count? Do I matter? And these are questions that are often not very well answered in our journey to adulthood. If you look at three key players on every man and every woman's journey from boy and from girl to man and woman, three key players. It's the father, it's the mother, and it's society, the environment in which we operate. And, you know, as a father, I was a single dad for many years, father of a boy, Luke, and a girl, Blythe. I'm going to just talk about the value and the need and the role that a father plays in this journey from a child to an adult in the life of a boy and a girl. I've said before, and I'll say it over and over again, both boys and girls need both moms and dads. And when I say mom and dad, it can be a mother figure or a biological mother, a father figure or preferably a biological father. Not, in fact, in South Africa, very few people grew up with a present engaged biological father, but it can be an uncle, it can be a grandfather. We talked about that. But let me talk about how the crucial importance of a father in raising a young boy or young girl to healthy adulthood. And I'll talk about my experiences with my children because they've been absolutely phenomenal. Let's just start off by saying that boys and girls are different, you know, equally valuable, worthy of equal opportunity, but different. Anyone who's raised a boy and a girl will know that. You give a bicycle to a young boy and a bicycle to a young girl, and I guarantee you in 3 weeks' time those bicycles are going to look different. Because for the boy, it's not enough just to get on the bike, travel from A to B. You know, he's got to try no hands and then ramping and then all kinds of crazy stunts. For a girl, less so. I mean, you do get the tomboys that are girls, but less so. I remember when my kids went through their matric dances. Very different experience for a boy and a girl. Very different experience. For my son, you know, it was, oh, Dad, Friday's my matric dance. It's already Wednesday. I need a jacket, you know. Off we go to any store, and we buy something off the shelf. He puts it, cool, Dad. Daughter, different story, man. I mean, it starts 3 to 6 months prior to the event. Dad, I need a dress. And then you go to the mall, and you go through every single shop and try every single dress, and none of them quite work. So you got to have one custom made. And then you do that. You go and pick out the material and the color and the designer, and you know, and it gets one, and you think, oh, it's over. No. It's only just starting, because then you need the accessories, the handbag, the shoes, the earrings, the hair. I mean, but it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. A guy called John Eldridge wrote a beautiful book called Wild at Heart, and he talks about the drivers of the masculine soul and the drivers of the feminine soul. And of course, there's overlap. I mean, every man, woman, child, every human being wants to be loved, a sense of belonging, identity. The questions are asked. But there are some nuances and differences. You know, he talks about the three drivers of a masculine soul, and it's the desire for a battle to fight, the desire for an adventure to live, and the desire for a beauty to pursue. You know, battle, adventure, and beauty are wired into the heart of man. You look at the movies that men have made famous, and you know, for me, it's very difficult for me and my wife to choose a movie. You know, we take turns because the kind of movie I want and the kind of movie she wants are often very different. And the movies that men want, what are they? Well, they've got all those three components: battle, adventure, beauty. You know? And a battle doesn't have to be a physical battle. It's not about size and power. It's about pitting your wits and your strengths in a noble fight, a noble battle. You know, you take Mahatma Gandhi, you know, tall, skinny guy, pacifist, you know, but he brought the British Army to its knees. You know, I mean, he fought a battle. Every man wants a battle to fight. And all of these movies, you know, whether it's the Die Hard or whatever the franchise is, you know, it's got a battle to fight, man. It's got the beauty, the interest, and it's got the adventure, the car chase, the mayhem. You know, these are wired into the heart of man. He talks about the desires on the heart of a woman, and it's the three corollaries. It's the desire to be fought for, the desire for an adventure to share, and the desire for a beauty to unveil. It's beautiful, you know. And I look at my daughter, you know, she desired in going to that matric dance to be beautiful, you know. And beauty is something we often misconstrue. Beauty is not about external things. That's part of it. It's about what do you have to bring to the world that's beautiful. You know, you take a young man who lives alone, and then he gets married, and a woman moves in with him. I mean, the house or the dwelling after the woman moves in is a totally different story. You know, she just brings a beauty and a grace and a something, you know, to it. The fridge is different. You know, everything looks different. The curtains are different because a woman brings that grace and that beauty. Of course, a woman brings power, and of course, a man can bring beauty. But in the heart of a woman, you know, this desire to be fought for. I often say to guys, man, the best foreplay is to let the woman in your life know that you would go to the ends of the world to her. You'd stand up for her. You'd fight the beast for her. You know, you're there for her. You'd fight for her. Every woman wants to know that she's worth being fought for. Women are more relational than men generally, and they want an adventure to share. You know, a woman wants to be part of a bigger story. She wants to participate in this beautiful adventure of life. And the beauty to unveil just goes without saying. So men and women are different. When my daughter Blythe was 2.5 years old, and I'm getting now into the experience of a father and what we need to do to answer the questions of our children's hearts, and this journey from boy to man and girl to womanhood. When my daughter was 2.5, doctors said to us that she'd need an operation on her heart. She had a small hole in one of the walls of her heart, and it needed a surgery. Luckily, I mean, phenomenal technology. Instead of open heart surgery, which it used to be, it's a catheter that goes into the vein and up into this heart, and it puts a device that blocks the hole. But on the day of surgery, she was very nervous, understandably so. And I was also, you know. So I said to the doc, please, can I carry her into theater just to alleviate her fears? And he kindly allowed me to do that. And I carried her into theater after scrubbing up and putting on all the stuff. And she was in my arms as we put the gas mask over her face, and she fell asleep in my arms. I handed her over to the doc. Operation was a great success. When she came around, I was there in the recovery room, and she was out the next day. But 1 month later, we were at my house and having a braai with a bunch of mates and some family. And we were standing in a circle, and Blythe was standing next to me, holding onto my leg, as young girls do. And one of my friends said to her, Blythe, I believe you were in hospital recently. And she looked up at him and she said, yes, my heart was broken. That's how she saw it. Then she said, but my daddy fixed it. She saw me as her hero, as the man who fixed her heart. And I tell you what, I had to excuse myself and go and regather my manhood and my masculinity before coming back to the crowd. But the gift she gave me that day was realizing that as her father, I did hold her heart in my hands. She viewed me as a hero. And I realized that as a father, I held not only her heart, but my son's heart. And how I pitched up as a father would have a massive impact on their lives. And so this started a journey for me of really taking fatherhood very, very seriously. If you look at my son Luke, he's the older one of the two. The questions on his heart, the question of competence, do I have what it takes? The question of, Dad, show me how to be a man. Do I have what it takes and show me how to be a man? These are the questions he would ask me. I remember coming home from work and he would rush out to meet me, and he'd want to wrestle me, and you know, and he wanted to show me that he's tough, he's strong, he's got what it takes. He wanted me to be there, and he wanted me to model to him what it means to be a man. When he turned 13, I decided to put together a rites of passage program, and I took 8 of my friends and diverse group of men that I really admired and respected. And we went away on a weekend, and I asked them to bring a message to my son, just to impart to him a message about what it means to be a man and to validate him. We had the most beautiful weekend. But what struck me the most about that weekend was not so much that impact it had on my son, but the impact it had on the other men. Every one of those men came to me afterwards, and some were kind of emotional and said, you know, Craig, this showed me what I never got growing up. And subsequent to that, we've run, and we still do that, run a lot of camps for men and interventions for men. And in every one of them, we take time to validate each other as men. And you see, young boys cry out for the validation of an older man. They cry out, you know, why do you think boys join gangs? Boys join gangs to be part of a family. They join gangs to be validated, accepted into this group, this tribe where they belong. And they validate it, and they'll often do crazy things that go totally against their value system to be accepted into a gang because that's where they belong. A lot of men are very scared to speak up against the people in their group, even if they see them doing wrong, because they want to be accepted and validated. And these men came to me and they said, you know, I never got this growing up. And we often on these camps take turns to validate each other's men. And it's a sacred space, man, where we would just say, hey, man, Jack, I see you a man amongst men, and as a man, I honor you and I validate you. Powerful stuff. Boys don't grow up with this. They don't grow up having been validated. I chatted to a young guy many, many years ago. I was in leadership, youth leadership in a church, and a young guy came to me, and he told me the story. He was, I think, 16 at the time, and he said, you know, he went away on holiday with his family. He had the kind of dad that was there but not there, you know, the kind of guy that's just – he's physically present, but he's not emotionally engaged. And he said they arrived at this holiday resort, and he saw a river, and he saw a bunch of guys fishing on the river. And he wanted to fish too, but he had no idea how to fish. He was about 11 or 10 at the time. And his dad wasn't the kind of guy who would take him fishing. So he got up the next morning, and he walked down to the river, and he had a pin, which he bent into the shape of a hook. And he tied a piece of string to the pin, and he sat on the side of the banks of the river, and he tried to fish. And of course, caught nothing, and he sat there for an hour, 2 hours, and he eventually got up so disillusioned, he walked away, and he threw the hook down, and he just wandered off despondent. Now imagine if that, and you know, that story didn't end well. 5 or 6 years after he chatted to me, that young man took his life. But imagine if an older man had come by while he was sitting there, an older boy or his father had come and said, hey, I see you trying to fish. Let me help you. And he pulled out a fishing kit, and he pulled out a hook and a rod and a line, and he taught him how to thread the hook, and he taught him how to put bait on the hook, and he taught him how to cast it in. And imagine if that young guy was sitting on the side of the banks, and he cooked his first fish, and this older guy said, hey, well done. You've got what it takes, you know. Two things would have happened. He would have validated him in his ability to be a man, to catch the fish, and he would have taught him how to fish. And that's what we as young guys want, you know. Young boys growing up into adulthood from their fathers, they want to be taught how to fish, how to do life, how to love a woman, how to balance the books, how to just do life. And they want to be validated. They want to be told, you've got what it takes. You don't have to play the man to be the man. You are the man. Whatever height you are, whatever ethnicity, whatever you are, is exactly what God wanted you to be. And it's enough. And it's as good as anyone else. And you've got what it takes. And let me show you how to do life. I mean, if every boy grew up with that kind of father, man, we'd live in a different kind of world. And this is what boys want from their fathers. They want that from their fathers. If you look at girls, what they want from their father, a father is his daughter's first love, her first romance. He sets the bar as to what it is, the love between a man and a woman, how he treats the mother of, well, her mother, how he treats her mother, shows her how valuable women are, because he's the most important man in her life. I remember my daughter Blythe, I used to come home from work as well, and my son would come barreling out, and we'd wrestle and fight and roughhouse. And Blythe would do that sometimes too, jump on me, hi, Dad. But sometimes, and we played a little game like this, it developed into a little game, she would stay in the house, and she would be in her bedroom or be in a dining room doing homework, and I could hear her giggling. When I opened the door, I'd say, where's my precious girl? And the game was I would go from room to room finding her, seeking her out. And when I got to the room where she was, I would I'd say, oh, there's my Bryce, you know. And I would light up and I'd go over, and she just loved this. And what I realized was that she wanted me to seek her out. She wanted me to pursue her heart. She wanted me to be that man in her life who loved her enough to take the time out of my schedule and go room to room finding her. And when I found her, to be delighted in her. She wanted me to romance her, to love her, to care for her, to nurture her. And the question on her heart is, am I worth pursuing? And the dad has to answer that question emphatically. You are worth pursuing. Am I lovely, Dad? You are so lovely, man. Any man who pursues you is just the most lucky man in the world. And you know, when a girl has this question answered by her father, she grows up very, very solid in her self-esteem and her belief and her knowledge of who she is. When she grows up seeing her father treat other women with respect and value and nurture and care and be a safe space, she grows up knowing that women are worthy, and women are worthy only of a man who respects them, loves them, treats them as an equal. And so these are the questions boys and girls ask of their fathers growing up. And it's absolutely crucial that these questions get answered. So few people grow up having these answered. And what happens when we grow up as a boy not having had that question answered? We grow up with a sense of inadequacy, that I'm not enough, that I don't have what it takes. And when I believe I don't have what it takes, I act out in many, many different ways. I can act aggressively, domineering. I can withdraw into all kinds of habits and addictions to make me feel better about myself. I can become very passive. I don't believe I've got what it takes. So I'm not going to fight for anything. A girl grows up not having had these crucial questions answered by her father. And look, I'm not talking about the mom. The mom is equally important as the father, plays a different role and answers different questions, but equally important. And when a girl grows up not having had these questions answered, there's an insecurity in herself. And that can play out in many, many ways as well. She doesn't believe she has beauty, so she often replaces duty for beauty. She'll believe that her only value and only worth is in doing things, in performing things, in being the mother, whereas she doesn't realize that in and of herself, she is a tremendous gift to the world. It affects our relationships. A girl who grows up with a very distant father, emotionally unavailable father, will often unconsciously seek out a man who is exactly the same, emotionally unavailable, not there, distant. Why? Because she's longing to fix what was wrong in her father. A boy who grows up with a father who treats women badly is often likely to do the same. And so if you look at the most important role models in a young girl's life and a young boy's life, it's the parents. But the most important role model in a boy's life to model masculinity to him is his father. The most important role model in a girl's life to model what it means to be a strong, powerful, gracious woman is her mother. As a father, I cannot model to my daughter how to be a woman. My wife, she cannot model to my son how to be a man. We both have to do that. And so we grow up on this perilous journey, and wounds are inflicted on our souls and our hearts and our minds, unwittingly often, by absent fathers, by fathers who are performance-driven, that they only value you when you do well on your report card or do well on you score a goal in the soccer side. And so we grow up, boys and girls, into men and women with a wound on our heart, with a sense of insecurity, with a sense of inadequacy, without a sense of deep belonging. This is who I am. This is my place. A sense of identity. I know exactly who I am. A sense of validity. Man, my life is legitimate. I'm the real deal. Not better or worse than anybody else. A sense of purpose and destiny. I mean, these are the things that we need to grow up with, and parents play such a crucial role. And here's the thing. Very few of us arrive at adulthood completely unwounded, completely emotionally whole. And for us to be the most powerful force for good that we want to be, for us to be a danger to the danger, we need to be emotionally whole, emotionally okay. And it's often necessary, in fact, it's always necessary for us to go on a journey of wholeness. We did not And this is so crucial. We did not hold the pen that wrote the story of our early childhood lives. Someone else held that pen. But we do hold the pen now. You're an adult. I'm an adult. We hold the pen now. And it's up to us to write a powerful story. You know, the beautiful saying that the pen is mightier than the sword. Yes, it is. And the pen of your life, the story of your life and the story of my life, which is written now by ourselves because that pen is in our hands, is something that you and I need to take responsibility for, that we need to write. And often it means We need to go through a process of dealing with the wounds, the insecurities, the hang-ups, the triggers, the angers, the bad habits that we have, the negative emotions. A powerful saying is that the voice of your father and the voice of your mother as a child becomes the voice of your internal dialogue as an adult. And we need to change the script of that voice. Any voice that says you're not good enough, any voice that says you don't have what it takes, that you don't really belong, that you is a lie. And we need to rejig and recreate that narrative to have the correct narrative about you and I. And we need to take that pen, man, and we need to treat it as a sword. And we need to write the story of our lives in such a way that this world will never forget that you are here and that you will realize potential to be the most powerful force for good on earth that you can possibly be. Remember, being dangerous but good is being the most whole, effective, together, person that you can possibly be and making the most possible, the greatest possible good you possibly can on earth. We all have the potential to do that. And so I'm going to be talking a lot in days to come about how to be your best physical version, emotional version, spiritual version of yourself, how to be the best communicator, basically how to be a powerful force for good. But it really starts with this. It starts with looking in the mirror and looking at myself and saying, where are my insecurities? So many people grow up with an orphaned heart. You can grow up in a household with both parents and yet have an orphaned heart. An orphaned heart is a heart that feels unseen, unloved, unnourished, unnurtured, unvalidated. And we need to realize that we're not orphans, man. We live in a beautiful world and we have a beautiful role to play. And we need to go through a process of examining ourselves, examining our journey. Every one of us carries a bit of baggage into adulthood. And your effectiveness as a human being will depend on how well you deal with that baggage. Am I going to carry it around with me for the rest of my life, hindering me, holding me back, affecting my relationships, my habits, my emotions? Or am I going to go through an intentional, deliberate process of unpacking that baggage, getting rid of it, resorting my life, refathering myself, and coming to the point where I'm writing a beautiful story? Powerful story, a story that impacts the world for good. You are dangerous. Take that pen, use it as a sword, write a beautiful story. See you next time.